I'm Pastor Phil Wyman from the Gathering at Salem in Salem, Massachusetts, and this is the continuing stories, Journeys from the Land of Jaw, a missional tale. This is Chapter 8. It was early in the spring of the year when the adventurer arrived at the Wise Crone's cottage with 12 souls. The 8 children easily adapted to life in the woods. Anything was more interesting than the benches in the desert to which they had grown accustomed in the land of the freemen. The lady in the flower dress turned out to be a most skilled gardener. She loved the outdoors, and her abilities in the garden proved to be almost miraculous. By summer, the small community was overrun with vegetables, and the long-neglected fruit trees began to show signs of improvement. Even in that first year, the blackberries were more plentiful than ever and as large as her thumb. When boiled, her deep purple small potatoes melted softly in your mouth and were a creamy delight. The pole beans were as long as your hand and snapped with juicy, sweet crispness. Apples were ripening on trees faster than they could be picked. The adventurer and his father put to the task of building the needed cottages. The dark-haired young woman from the land of him whose name we only share in secret, and the adventurer's mother helped the wise crone to cook, mend clothing, educate the children, and keep the general duties of the cottage. The dark-haired young woman had the energy of any 3 workers, and the moodiness she once exhibited had long since been replaced with a simple joy for life. She danced about the kitchen like a fairy with a special magic which came to life in her pies, and for this the little community was overjoyed each evening as the smells of fruit and meat pies settled upon the overcrowded table. By midsummer, the adventurer and the dark-haired young woman from the land of him whose name we only share in secret were married in a flower garden created for them by the pretty lady in the flower dress. White calla lilies and small climbing roses native to the woods joined the fragrance of the jasmine, which the lady in the flower dress had found hiding in forgotten places around the old woman's cottage and had replanted in the garden. The wedding became a feast day for the small cottage community, and the first of the completed new cottages was initiated with the adventurer carrying his new bride over the threshold. This wedding day also marked the first day in which the people from the adventurer's village were invited to join the small cottage community in the woods. The village elder, the bards, the 6 families with the children from the land of the free men who had remained behind in the village, and a few close friends joined the celebration. The wise crone cried softly that day, not just for the wedding, but also for this small sign of reconciliation and peace. Apart from the general struggles which come when people live together, the little community ran smoothly and peacefully. The children learned and kept their chores with the typical encouragement required of children who would rather play than do chores or homework. The adults were kept busy with the work of building the community, and good hard work done together often has the healthy dynamic of putting people off to a good night's sleep and driving silly tensions of petty grievances away into the gentle breezes of the night. As summer ended and fall passed, 3 more cottages were completed with the help from people in the nearby village. But as winter neared, the adventurer began to think of things adventurers think about. Adventure.
You cannot keep an adventure settled for long. They are bound to wander, my dear, the wise crone said to the dark-haired young wife of the adventurer.
I know. She smiled as she spoke. But if he were not a true adventurer, I would not be here myself. I think, perhaps, he will not always travel alone. I'm sure I will find my own feet wanting to stray from the hearth to see the world.
The evenings began to be filled with discussions of the wider world, and the adventurer shared his concern for the land of Jaw. Perhaps it was time, he thought aloud, to visit the villages, towns, and cities in the land of Jaw. Certainly the tales of other lands outside the land of Jaw and the need for helping those who were displaced and oppressed in this wide world would stir the hearts of other adventurers. After some weeks of discussion around the dinner table, each evening, after the children had gone to bed, it was decided that the adventurer and his father would set off on a short journey to nearby villages and towns in the land of Jaw. The adventurer's wife chose to remain behind. She felt her learning in the ways of Jaw from the wise crone was most important for the time being.
This journey is no less strange than anything you have seen in the outside world, my young adventurer, the wise crone remarked. Because someone believes the one thing does not mean that their hearts and minds are not filled with superstition and strange notions.
The following days, they packed for a short journey, and on the third day they left in the morning with prayers and blessings, with supplies and a few pies. With hugs and kisses, the adventurer and his father left the small cottage community in the hands of the women. Passing the village on their way to the wide road, they requested the village elders to visit the little cottage community every couple days. Unlike the adventurer's first journey, the people in the village came to offer their blessings and prayers for the success of the journey. Although a small group of villagers who had risen up in anger against the children from the land of the freemen stood off to the side, whispering among themselves and scowling with faces as chilly as the mild winter morning. Journeys from the Land of Jaw. That's the end of chapter 8. This is a missional tale.